we get things rolling as we welcome back to the studio our friend Sean Latch from the Amer Astronomy Center at the University of Maine. Welcome.
Great to be here.
How did we get to December already, huh?
Yeah, time has really flown by this fall, I have to say. It's been a little bit busy, to say the least, with all the different things happening up at the university. And then, of course, just programming and lots of other stuff. We've had the Mars mission, which just landed, of course, InSight. And that was a successful landing, of course. And now we have this comet coming up in the sky and a lunar eclipse in January. Gee, I tell you, there's always something.
Let's we'll talk about the InSight mission in a little bit, but here we are. We're 16 days from solstice.
Yeah, winter solstice, of course, the 21st coming up, and the shortest day of the year, longest night, so a great time for stargazing when the weather is clear and hopefully cooperates. It looks like we're going to have a clear night tonight, first one in a while, so it's a great night to get out and take a look up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about some of the programs that you've got going on here in the month of December. And let's start with your Friday shows that get rolling this Friday night.
Yeah, we have our Mystery of the Christmas Star, of course, returns. And we take a look at what was visible in the skies back about 2,000 years ago, what might have caused the wise men to travel to Bethlehem in search of the Christ child. And we look at this from a scientific point of view. So what were the objects visible? Could those be things that could be followed or not? Because there are a lot of things that are seen in the sky that you might not necessarily be able to follow or take a long journey for. And we look at a variety of the historical records, astronomical and such, of that time period. So that's our Friday night show. We're also doing it on 3:30 on Sunday afternoons as well. And this month, of course, a little bit shorter month for us in terms of things because the university closes down sort of between, you know, the Christmas and New Year's holidays. So the planetarium will be finishing up on the 21st and then reopen on January 2nd.
So make sure you get there in the next couple of weeks. Also, Legends of the Sky on Sundays.
Yeah, Legends of the Night Sky Orion. So that is a program that is for children and is geared for looking at the constellation of Orion, one of the winter constellations, which is visible. It's a nice cartoon rendition of the story of Orion. And, of course, we always, with all of our programs, include a live tour of the night sky with stars, constellations, planets, things like that. But it's a really fun program. It's narrated by Aesop the Owl and Socrates the Mouse, and they take the kids on a little bit of a journey exploring how Orion ended up in the sky and his big battle with Scorpius the Scorpion and the like.
That sounds fantastic. Also, you've got your science lecture series this month, and that's going to be on Thursday the 20th at 7 p.m., Connections to Obesity and Diabetes.
Yeah, Dr. Christy Townsend is going to come in, and she does cell research and neurobiology research, and she's going to be talking about how they're looking at cells and how cells communicate in terms of metabolism and how that affects things like diabetes and obesity. And that's one of the cool things with the planetarium I'm always trying to let folks know about. While astronomy is our key strength, we can visualize lots of other types of sciences and do a whole variety of other things in the dome. We had a music program recently with our music department. Actually, last week, Thursday, we did a special event with them. And that was a lot of fun. And so there's always lots of interesting things we can do in the dome.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about this Mars mission. InSight has landed and is going to have some company. Was it two or three more landers that will eventually get to Mars? And
there are some more landers which are planned. Of course, there's a couple on the surface right now that are still in operation. But then there's a few more that are planned. One is going to be sort of a sample return mission, which will be geared for, you know, grabbing a piece of Mars and bringing it back to Earth. And there's a larger rover that's going to have a little bit more distance range than some of the previous ones. So they're coming up. But the InSight, of course, is really looking at the interior of the planet, trying to get an idea of how that works. It's going to stick a probe down about roughly 5 meters or 16 feet if you're on old units, and measure the internal temperature of the planet, also be looking for Mars quakes, and it will even be able to detect meteorite strikes on Mars too. And all of that's really important for planning future human missions to Mars, because we want to understand the interior structure of the planet, how it works, and also the conditions. It also has a weather station on board, which will be in constant operation. In the past, we've taken measurements of the weather on Mars here and there, but this will be in constant operation minimally for a 2-year period, which will give us a full Martian year of weather to take a look at. And that's something that will be important for planning for future missions as well.
Sean Latch with us from Amer Astronomy Center. Well, speaking of manned missions, next week will mark the 46th anniversary of the last lunar landing, Apollo 17. I believe it was Gene Cernan and Jack Schmidt, the last men on the moon. Is that, we've talked about a little bit before, is that a logical return visit for us, or should we be looking at other directions like Mars?
Well, I think, you know, it is logical to go back to the moon. We sort of, you know, we stopped the moon program a little bit abruptly. There actually were more missions planned, but, you know, the funding got cut and it just stopped. But the moon is an easy target comparatively. You can get there in about 3.5 days one way. When you're going to Mars, you're looking at 8 months one way, a year and a half on the surface until Mars and Earth line up, and then another 8 months back. So roughly 3 years to go and safely return. With the moon, 3.5 days one way, spend as much time as you want, 3.5 days back, makes it a little bit easier. And so going to Mars is going to require a lot of different technological advances, and probably sending stuff there in advance to be waiting there so that when astronauts arrive, they can assemble a base station to live. Where if you go to the moon, you can go and return quickly and it's a little bit easier. But it would be a good way to test technologies for longer missions to Mars. So I think it is logical.
Unless technology changes and we get breakthroughs that we may not be aware of yet, is Mars kind of the last destination? We can't really go any further out, can we, with manned missions?
Well, we could, potentially. There has been discussions of sending humans to asteroids, and that might be something. But again, that those would be longer-term missions, so we'll have to wait and see if that happens. But yeah, I mean, out past that in our solar system, you're mainly looking at gas giants or their moons. And in the case of some of those moons, when, you know, if they're going around Jupiter, while there might be, there's been talk that there's water, you know, underneath Europa and there could be life there, it would be beneath the surface and it would take a lot to get to it. And also the radiation belt that Jupiter has is huge and would be very harmful to us for it. So pretty challenging.
And the distance too, you know, we were all, well, if you're my age, we were misled by those little things we had in science class with the planets on wires that made them look like about equidistant from one to the next. But really, in many ways, the distance increases almost exponentially.
Yeah, I always tell folks, you know, when you know, the inner planets are all roughly equally spaced all the way from, you know, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars. But then when you go from Mars to Jupiter, you triple the size of the solar system. From Jupiter to Saturn, you double it, and almost the same for Uranus and Neptune. So it's you do make these huge jumps, and the distances become quite large. And of course, also once you get past those rocky planets, you have these huge gaseous worlds, and their conditions really are not really conducive to, you know, landing a surface craft on. And so the only option there would be to do things, you know, like their moons. But even then, there are these other conditions which can be challenging.
What right now is the man-made object that's the furthest from home?
Well, the Voyager and Pioneer missions are roughly the same distances from each other. And, you know, out in space within a short amount of space. But they're
Are they in interstellar space now?
Sort of. They're right around that boundary between sort of where our sun and interstellar space begins. What's interesting is they have not even made it to one light day away yet.
Wow.
So in 2050 is when those crafts will reach roughly one light day from our planet. Not light year, light day is the big thing. So again, and they've been traveling, you know, since the late 70s, you know, and things like that. So these were launched when I was a kid, back in the dark ages. And, you know, and again, they, you know, they're the fastest things we've built, but they still are not one light day away, which is pretty amazing.
And to put it in perspective, our closest neighboring galaxy is how many light years away?
So in terms of a galaxy that's not a satellite of our own, we're looking at Andromeda, which is about 2 million light years away. Yeah, even the Voyager spacecraft to get to the distance of the nearest star is roughly 20,000 years. So again, the distances really are quite substantial.
You mentioned the comet as well. And when will prime viewing be for that?
Yeah, we have this comet right now called Wirtanen, or P46 for short. And the reason that P is there is it's a periodic comet. And those are ones that return very often. It's a member of the Jupiter family. It's going to reach perihelion, its closest point to the sun, on the 12th of December, and its closest approach to Earth on the 16th, when it will be about roughly 30 lunar diameters away, or lunar distances away, I should say, roughly 7 million miles or 12 million kilometers, again, if using correct units. That's going to be the best. Right now, it is visible in binoculars, and it's going to be it will become bright enough to see with the unaided eye. It has a bit of a greenish tinge to it, but it's not going to be, you know, super bright, and we're not expecting much of a tail. It's a periodic comet, so you're mainly going to see sort of a fuzzy blob, if you will. Basically, as it gets close to the sun, it will release some gas that will create this coma around it and give it that sort of shape, if you will.
Very nice. And any other events to keep an eye open for?
Well, I think, you know, those are some of the things that are happening right now. In January, we're going to have a lunar eclipse visible for the first time here in roughly 2 years.
Oh, good.
That's going to be on the evening of the evening of the 20th and 21st of January. And we're working on planning some programming for that. We will be doing some special events around that at the planetarium. And it's nice because it's a Sunday evening into a Monday, and the Monday is a holiday. So a lot of folks will be able to sleep in the next day since the totality happens close to midnight.
Perfect. Don't forget to get to Mara Astronomy Center. Great events throughout the month up and through the 21st, right?
Yes. Yep.
And then they'll take a little holiday break. So get on up here starting this Friday night. Mystery of the Christmas Star at 7 p.m. And, of course, the Sunday programming as well. Sean, thanks as always for visiting with us. Have a great holiday.
You too. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll see you in the new year. Sean Lash from Mara Astronomy Center with us.